record. My name is Harold Timmons. I'm with Tower Engineer Professionals. Our project involves a 90-foot monopole tower and related ground equipment. Verizon will be the anchor tenant, and they are indicating that they've experienced network issues, high demand of wireless traffic that is currently experienced within their four existing on-air sites to the north, east, south, and west. Existing sites are experiencing heavy usage from massive expansion in customer demand, offloading of traffic needed in existing sites to provide customers with continued reliable service. Enhanced in-building coverage needed along 9th Avenue and Creighton Road. The benefits of providing this structure: improved coverage in residential areas to the north and south of Highway 10 due to weak current coverage.
So this was a very, very interesting conversation at the Pensacola City Council meeting last week over the proposal to build a 90-foot tower, not a radio tower, but a piece of steel on which you would mount cellular service from Verizon. As many as four providers could eventually use the pole, but in the beginning, it would only be Verizon using it. 90-foot means it'd be about 30-foot or so above the trees in that area. This is at the Walmart at Creighton and 9th Avenue, I-10, that whole vicinity. It's back behind the Walmart north and east of there, basically. And what this representative of the company that wants to do it, his name is Harold Timmons, wants to do is they have a problem with congestion traffic in the Walmart and on I-10 particularly. You know, what people are doing demanding high data levels on I-10 is not obvious to me. The kids are watching movies, I guess. But in the Walmart also, you know, when you see people zombie shopping, going around with their cart and watching the NCAA tournament at the same time or whatever, apparently there's a high demand on that, you know, amount of cellular service. Charles Baer, it's his district in District 2. He says there's a whole lot of things about this deal that I do not like, including Walmart I don't particularly like.
So did you say that Walmart would not allow barbed wire on top of the fence?
They prefer not to have barbed wire on the top of their fence. There may be some type of liability issue for them that warrants that. This is not the first Walmart site where they have asked that the barbed wire be removed.
Okay, so you have other sites that you've done that don't have barbed wire at the top where it's fairly easy for somebody to crawl over an 8-foot fence?
I share that concern with you. But we do have other sites that we're working on with Walmart that they have asked that barbed wire be removed. So this is not the only one.
Okay, well, they've already proven not to be a good neighbor in our city. So I have issues with that.
Well, tell me what you really think, Charles. I thought it was an odd thing to get too excited about the barbed wire, yay or nay, he apparently does not like the Walmart's corporate presence in that particular part of Pensacola, I guess that's the only Walmart that's in the city. Sanjay Dewan, another representative of the company, wanted to put up the tower, answering the question of, well, why can't we just put a bunch of small towers up? You know, why not put a bunch of 30, 40-foot towers up instead of this one massive 90-foot tower? Because, you know, the basic issue here is, we all want more cellular service. We want more data access. We want more of what the tower provides. Nobody wants a tower near them, right? You want a tower in your backyard? You want a tower in your neighborhood 200 feet from your house, 400 feet from your house? No, nobody does. It's ugly, and I think we all have just kind of some vague concerns about health that may or may not be justified by any of the science, but we still have them. And yet, you know, there's towers all over the place, and people don't particularly like having, you know, basic infrastructure in their area.
Now, you talked about something which is a small cell.
The smaller, yeah.
The challenge with a small cell is that for every one tower like this, you need about up to 30 of those small cells. And the cost is prohibitive. So the financials, they just don't work. So it becomes very, very difficult to deploy a small cell network.
We want to build one big one because one big one is the same as 30 small ones, and that's way more expensive. Put it up higher, that you can do a lot more with it. And he also says, look, this will make better service not just for the Walmart or not just for on I-10, but for everybody in the area because it'll free up space, you know, bandwidth, essentially, on all of these other towers. But Charles Baer, again, who is going to come out strongly against this, he also wants to know, if you know that area, if you know the Walmart, Jake, do you ever shop at that Walmart? You ever been to the... Okay, you don't know there. I guarantee you that if you go to that Walmart, you'll have a plane fly overhead. probably multiple. In the time that you are in the parking lot, you'll have a plane go, because it is right in the flight path for the north-south runway for Pensacola International Airport. And so he asks the airport director, is this a problem for us?
It may have been approved by the FAA, but I was just kind of wanted to get your input into, is it currently where it's being sighted? Is it in the flight path? Is it something that we need to be concerned about as a city as far as planes coming in and out of there and future development of the airport? I really just want to hear from you on that.
Sure. So anytime a potential obstruction comes within an area of the airport, obviously we have concerns about that. We typically defer to the FAA, and the reason we defer to them is because they're standardized. When they determine whether something is a hazard to air navigation, they do it in a standardized manner across the country for all airports. So we defer to them.
Now, I think Matt is being diplomatic here, Airport Director Matt Coughlin. Defer to the FAA is another way of saying we don't really have any power to stop this. The FAA is going to tell us what to do. I don't. And which is, in a way, that's what you want, right? You don't want regional airports making the decisions about what happens. You want a standardized set of rules for the entire country. And if it's within the regulations that the FAA sets, then it's within the regulations that the FAA sets. But it sort of seemed like Matt was a little, less than ideally comfortable about this. And so even looking for future use and the potential impact and instrumentation, a 90-foot pole is a pretty big pole. It's only half the size of James Calkins' big flagpole in Santa Rosa County, but that's not right in a flight path for anything. So Jen Brer tries to get Matt Coughlin to kind of dissent from the FAA, and he won't.
Even though by the letter of the law, it's okay, it still raises some, and it would be nicer to have it a little bit farther away. I know that you can't really go down that road. You have to defer, but...
Again, yes, we have to defer to the FAA, and we have to be very careful about the standard that we hold, and we have to carry that standard.
Yeah, so I don't know whether Matt, given full latitude to say his mind on this, would be thrilled about it or say, like, hell no, we don't really want that there. I am suspicious that he might be opposed to it because, again, he's an aviator, and putting a 90-foot pole basically in the center line of the flight path for the airport is not the best thing in the whole wide world that anybody wants to do, even with continuous lighting on it. But he doesn't say that because the FAA says what they said, and he doesn't really have the ability to dissent from that. So Charles Baer says, look, I don't even know why we're bothering to do this. People, when they're shopping and people driving in their cars, don't really need all that much extra cell service.
When I look at that map, I see a lot of red on Walmart, and I'm thinking you could put a small cell tower right next to Walmart and handle all of that. You also put one in the shopping center off to the east, handle that. I don't know what you're going to do about all the people that shouldn't be on their phones while they're driving down the highway and on 9th Avenue. I guess we need to have better enforcement. You're not supposed to be using your phones like that. I guess some of them are doing hands-free, so that's probably okay. But I would imagine a bunch of them are doing this.
And they probably shouldn't be. But I think, it could be passengers, could be kids, right? I get that.
This tower is really, at this point, it's to further or deepen the pocketbooks of one company, really. Well, probably the company it's going to build it too, but ultimately it's for Verizon.
And?
I just don't see the point of putting one there in an area that's so close to the flight path there. And with the concerns, and I've talked to some of the residents, and they've shared some of the studies that have been done about the impact of these towers on birds. And I would like to think of us as a city that believes in the natural environment. We have a lot of trees. It's already been mentioned that the trees are shorter than this, 65, 70 feet. So you're talking about a tower that's going to stick out 20, 25 feet higher. Admittedly, by the gentleman that spoke earlier, that's so we avoid interference. So...
So Charles is kind of the throw all the mud up against the wall you can. It's a habitat problem. It's a bird problem. It's a quality of life problem. It's a profit-making center for Verizon. All it is the Walmart and the people driving on and working on their cell phones. And so, he's really opposed to this, and he'll say anything in this regard that he thinks is going to help, which starts to sound a little bit NIMBY. It's his district, so it's his people, and I get that. And again, nobody wants a tower in their backyard. Jen Brer raises some of the same questions, including the idea that, this is the sort of mistake that if you make it, you can't really unmake it. Allison Patton basically says, look, I'm torn on this too, but we all want cell service, and this is the future, and somewhere somebody's going to have to build more of these towers.
This is the future. This is where, where we're headed, and better for worse. Putting it over near the interstate would still impact that neighborhood, maybe not quite as directly, but so I'm struggling with this. I think we need to build this infrastructure. I think it's inevitable it will be built. I think we need to be careful about where we put these types of towers, but I also know that no one wants them near their neighborhoods. And so where does that leave us as a city? So I'm considering all the comments, but I'm definitely struggling to figure out what another answer might be if there is a need for service.
So as I was reading the council, it seemed likely to me, Jared Moore was not in attendance, so he had six members present. I thought it was maybe going to go 4-2. I wasn't sure. Tenier de Broughton seemed to be against it, so maybe it was going to be a 3-3 vote. And it seemed like there was going to be a fair amount of conflict and disagreement about this. And then you had a really interesting thing happen. Adam Cobb, who is the brand new city attorney, that's only been on the job now maybe a month. I don't even think it's been 2 months yet. There was a bit of a question over on what grounds can you even object to this, because it was a quasi-judicial hearing, not just a regular city question about legislation. So there's a lot of rules about what they can and cannot do. And he basically came in and clarified and said, look, there are six various criteria that you've got to satisfy, a whole bunch of different things you've got to satisfy, and you have to meet all of those conditions. And in addition to those conditions, you have to prove the applicants have to prove that they have no other way to meet the demand, because it was going to be an exemption to the zoning. Okay, it's not an entitlement. They can't just build the tower. They're asking for permission, okay, within that zone. And he says, look, they have to prove all six of these criteria are met, and they have to prove that they cannot meet the need for bandwidth without building this exact proposal. At which point, Casey Jones says, I don't even think we have the option to vote for this.
Not even taking into account the seventh one that Mr. Cobb gave. I don't think it meets the seventh one. I think cell service is being provided there. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there's some congestion. And I don't think that we meet all six of the other ones. So my personal opinion is that we don't even have the discretion to make to approve this. So.
And I think he's right. And everybody else agreed with him. Charles Bear moves to deny the item. They denied it 6-0. Boom, zip, done. And what I thought was particularly neat about this as an example of how government is supposed to function is that the legislators weren't quite sure what they wanted to do. I mean, some of them were sure, but the entirety of the council wasn't quite sure what they wanted to do with this proposal because they saw both sides. You know, as Allison Patton said, I see both sides. I'm torn. People want more of this, the results of this infrastructure, but obviously people don't want this infrastructure in their backyard, especially where it disrupts the habitat or, you know, it messes up the skyline and is an ugly thing that nobody wants to look at. We get all of these factors and other things as well. But then the attorney comes in and says, you know, here's what our statutes say, and here's what you're, I mean, he doesn't come out and tell them what they're allowed and not allowed to do, but he saves them from making a potentially bad decision. And he basically explains it to the point where they realize, oh, even if we wanted to, we probably can't do this. And we don't really want to either. So we're good. The new city attorney, in my opinion, basically did exactly what a city attorney is supposed to do, which is protected the board from making a mistake because they didn't know the law the way the city attorney knows the law. And this winds up being a good story. Now, it's a bad story for people in the Walmart and driving on I-10 who want to use their cell phones more, and they're going to have to come back with a different solution to this particular demand issue. But to me, this was good governance in action. It's the kind of thing you like to see. And you see it more and more with the city of Pensacola these days. It is honestly one of the most well-functioning local governments that we have at the moment, even when there's controversy, and there has been a lot, Malcolm Young Jim, for example. But, you know, even when there's controversy, you know, it's few and far between. It's not constant. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you are thinking about buying a home for the first time or the fifth time or selling or adding a home to your portfolio, maybe a rental or something like that, call Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. Talk with them. And, you know, first-time buyers, I get it. Because we were at one time, right? And I'll tell you that buying for the first time is scary. It's an unknown and it's uncertain and you're kind of excited, but you're kind of terrified at the same time. And are we going to get a good deal? And I have come close to making bad deals with homes, and that's even more scary. So you don't know for sure what the market's going to do. You don't know for sure what the value is going to be. And will you buy a home and discover problems? Will somebody build a giant subdivision right behind you and you didn't expect? I mean, all that kind of stuff. Okay. Well, that's why you talk to Christina Leavenworth, because she will help you answer those questions, ask better questions, ask all the things that you don't think to ask when you're a first-time buyer or even a fifth-time buyer. And she'll help you make sure that you get a good decision on the basis of all the relevant information and then the best price buying or selling. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Exciting news! The data revolution is on the rise once again. Data Revolution is seeking a second-tier engineer with at least 2 to 3 years of experience in IT, networks, voice over IP, and cybersecurity. Data Revolution's competitive salary is based on experience, and their comprehensive benefit packages include a medical stipend, matching 401k, flexible work hours, starting with 3 weeks of PTO, 10 paid holidays, profit sharing, and more. This is not remote or work from home. To learn more about this opportunity, send your resume to resume@datarevs.com.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Lou, give me a milk. Chocolate.
I could just listen to Eddie play all day. And I think that a lot of people share that sentiment. 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And David, question that come up in the break. Jake, you were asking me those concerns about health issues related to cell towers. And I said, yeah, it's an interesting thing. There's actually a ruling, a federal court of appeals actually made a ruling several years ago that local governments are not even allowed to consider the effects of potential cell tower radiation in zoning requests. So it is not something they are even, like, if they talk about that in their discussion, the ones who want the cell tower that gets denied can sue them over it. So that's because there's not the good science behind those concerns, and the federal government says, yeah, that's not something that you can even bring up in the conversation. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Biden's big fundraiser in New York last night raked in over $25 million. Biden was joined by former Presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. Also celebrities there, Stephen Colbert, Queen Latifah, and Lizzo. Apparently some of the biggest donors last night donated up to $500,000.
You could get a selfie with all three presidents for the cool price of $100,000.
Sounds like a solid investment. The funeral for former Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman being held in his hometown of Stamford today. He died Wednesday from complications after a fall. And Travis Scott wants to be dropped from the lawsuit over the deadly 2021 Astro World Festival in Texas, where 10 people were killed. His attorneys filed a motion for a summary judgment this week.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. We have the Pensacola Blue Wahoos and Marcus Point Baptist Church hosting Egg of Wahoos at Wahoo Stadium tomorrow, the largest Easter egg hunt in Pensacola, 50,000 eggs. It is always a blast. 11 o'clock is when things start for the youngest kids. And then, of course, the sunrise service comes up Sunday.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Donald Trump spending time with the family of slain NYPD officer Jonathan Diller at his wake on New York's Long Island, a 31-year-old gunned down during a traffic stop. Earlier this week, cops say by a career criminal.
Really a lack of respect for law and order, and we have to have law and order back in our country.
A former president speaking exclusively to Fox and Friends. Anti-Israel protesters. On either side of the famed Radio City Music Hall, Midtown Manhattan, disrupting President Biden's mega money fundraiser featuring former Presidents Obama and Clinton. Mr. Biden hoping to net a reported $25 million from the event that featured many celebrities. Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Griskovich marks 1 year in a Russian prison illegally detained during a trip to Ekaterinburg on March 29th of last year. His detention just extended through June of this year. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is 52 and mostly clear skies right now in Pensacola. Well, things are beginning to take shape regarding two development opportunities near downtown. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city has recently received two letters of interest to redevelop the Pensacola Motor Lodge and four regarding Pensacola Sports' former headquarters on Main Street.
No set timeline on an RFP or will we RFP or not. Will we negotiate with one particular person? Those decisions haven't been made.
City leaders have said in the past the goal for the Motor Lodge would be to add affordable housing. As for the Main Street property, that could be transformed into a mixed residential retail district, with a 90-foot residential building being the centerpiece of that. Well, it would kind of be like our version of Fleet Week coming in May, a brand new 3-day event celebrating the Navy and its contributions to the area.
We're doing Pensacola Navy Days, a night at the museum. So the museum on the base will be hosting a gala. Again, this will be a ticketed event, and those will be on sale very soon. And we'll get the information out to the public on how you can be a part of that. But it's going to be a very nice sort of a ball with a dinner and keynote speaker.
That's Todd Thompson, president of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Navy Days is going to happen starting May 17th with a special themed gallery night and the gala you just heard about there. Then Saturday, a 4K run walk, followed by a parade, and a Blues on the Bay concert series will conclude those events that Sunday. An Orlando official facing criminal charges, FDLE, yesterday announcing the arrest of Commissioner Regina Hill, the 58-year-old Democrat, now facing 7 felony counts and could potentially get a life sentence. The charges include exploitation of the elderly, fraudulent use of personal identification, and mortgage fraud. She allegedly took advantage of a 96-year-old constituent living in deplorable conditions. FDLE says Hill helped clean up the woman's home and connected her with resources, but in just over a month, Hill assumed power of attorney and financially exploited that woman for 3 years. Hill has pleaded not guilty on those charges. It is 534 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have beautiful sunny skies today with temperatures warming up near 71 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55. Nice weather as we go into Easter weekend. Plenty of sunshine Saturday, high near 74. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, 52 in Pensacola, 53 in Gulf Breeze, and the cool spot this morning is Milton, only 44 there. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KelleyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru. Get yours during the Subaru Lot to Love event. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
I've been collecting watches since around 2018. Made my first big purchase thinking that was going to be my only watch. When you're looking at watches and you're doing them online, or if you're in the secondary market, it can be scary because there's a lot of fakes. And I really do focus in on coming in to an authorized dealer like Bray's for any of the Omega or Breitling purchases. They will let you try it on, take pictures, go home, think about it, and just really set your mind at ease.
Come visit us at Bray Jewelers.
Bands on the Beach is back. Grab a lawn chair towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and live music every Tuesday night at 7.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down to Mountain, Mississippi.
This week, the Victrolas bring the feel of Texas dance halls, Bakersfield honky-tonks, and the strains of the Louisiana hayride. Grab a blanket or lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass, and get to Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And I want to say, as to the person, we don't know which homeowner shot at him. I guess they think that they did something wrong, which they did not. If somebody's breaking in your house, you're more than welcome to shoot them in Santa Rosa County. We prefer that you do, actually. So whoever that was, you're not in trouble. Come see us. We have a gun safety class we put on every other Saturday. And if you take that, you'll shoot a lot better, and hopefully you'll save the taxpayers money. So with that, questions?
So this didn't happen recently. It's Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson. In 2022, the Santa Villa shooting of a guy who had been in trouble with the law since the age of 13, had a long list of arrests and warrants out for him at the time, was fleeing officers and ran into a house, and one of the residents of the house shot him, apparently, and then the officers got into the house, and he jumped out a window, and they caught him subsequently. And Sheriff Johnson making the fairly flippant comments of, you know, hey, go ahead and shoot him to kill him. And if you don't know how to do that effectively, we will train you to shoot better so that you can shoot him to kill him and save us a bunch of money having to put him in jail. Some people hear that and they're like, hell yeah. Some people hear that like, ooh, what happens if somebody shoots inappropriately as a resident, or even there's a police shooting and then you got kind of this culture issue, and, you know, can that be used as evidence against the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office in a lawsuit? You know, do sort of raise those questions. The reason this had come up is because somebody somewhere discovered this archival clip from 2 years ago and published it on social media. And then Elon Musk tweeted that, you know, two fire emojis, I think, and Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office published on their website, their Facebook page, thanks for the support, Elon. So that's kind of the backdrop to all of this. I wanted to talk about it briefly with Mike Wood, who is the public information officer from PPD, yesterday when we talked to him. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I just want to check, you know, I always like to check with law enforcement to make sure the things I'm saying are correct. You are allowed to shoot to stop until the threat is no longer present and a reasonable person is no longer fearing for themselves or for anybody else nearby. At that point, you have to stop shooting. Do I have it right?
You've got it right. Yes, sir.
And if you keep shooting at that point, when you're no longer reasonably afraid for life, limb, or, relative's life or limb, you can face charges up to and including murder.
Well, that's possible. Every situation is different, and it all has to be looked at. Investigators will look at it from the perspective of the victim. If this person has never been involved in a violent encounter before, especially one in their home, they will do what they have to do to protect themselves and their family, hopefully. And I think the message that the sheriff was trying to convey there was that in a situation like that, you don't have time to think about whether you're right or you're wrong. He's making people understand that they're in your home, they are a threat to you. You do what you have to do and to eliminate that threat, and don't worry about being arrested. Let's worry about the threat at hand right now. And so I think that's what the message ultimately was.
Oh, and that's a great reminder, too, because that's exactly what happens is people see these stories about, you know, homeowner shoots, gets arrested, and you're like, oh, I don't know what I can do. As long as you're afraid, you can do what you need to do, and let's not hesitate because hesitation is a bad thing in that case. So that's a great clarification. Things that we have going on in Pensacola this week, I think it has been a relatively low level of what we would call, you know, news-related or newsworthy stories, but you did have a pretty bad outcome of somebody making a bad decision with a motorcycle. Is that right?
Yeah, unfortunately, Pensacola PD officers were last Saturday night attempting to make a stop on a motorcycle. That motorcycle fled, and we're just not going to, you know, to chase a motorcycle is a very dangerous thing to do. We did not engage in any pursuit that evening, but he got on the interstate northbound and at the interstate at Davis Highway, lost control of the motorcycle and hit a concrete barrier and was killed. And, you know, we've seen this happen before with motorcycles, unfortunately, several times. And this is one of the reasons or the reason why we simply just it's just too dangerous to engage in a pursuit with them unless they're involved in a forcible felony.
So this is a case where it's not because of dangers to other people necessarily, but because motorcycles are so fast and so dangerous, engaging in a chase with them, unless, as you say, there's a forcible felony that you're trying to, you know, prevent or, you know, catch the perpetrator of. It's just too risky to them, basically. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of times we have the tag number. We can take care of this later on. But even if we don't, it's just something it's just simply not worth it.
You know, it reminds me of I was talking to Chief Hawthorne from Gulf Breeze Police Department over the weekend, last weekend, and we aired that interview earlier this week, and he was talking about speeding on Three Mile Bridge and people going outrageously fast speeds, you know, over 100 miles an hour on Three Mile Bridge. Look, we all know the bridge was built for speed, and then they tell us to drive slow. It's not reasonable or fair, but it is the law. And he was saying, you know, that they are very actively enforcing the speed limit there. And you and I have talked about this a little bit before, marked and unmarked vehicles. Do you guys have incidents like that where people are going over 100? And how actively are you patrolling Three Mile Bridge?
Well, the first fatality since the new bridge came into existence was a motorcycle. I was on the bridge that night. There was a construction crew working that night, and the motorcycle was doing about 120 miles an hour when it lost control and hit the back of one of these construction vehicles that was working on the bridge, and it cost the driver, the rider, his life. So it's already happened on that bridge, and we are, along with Gulf Breeze, working on the bridge day and night in marked, unmarked vehicles, motorcycles, watching the speed on that bridge because, you know, like if you look at it, it's built a lot or just like the I-10 bridge, which has a higher speed limit. But the reason the speed limit is what it is because of the approaches on both ends. You have to have a certain distance to be able to go down in speed, and the three-mile bridge is just simply not long enough to maintain anything over 45 miles an hour for that distance. So that's why it's built like the I-10 bridge, but the speeds have to be slower simply because there's just not a long enough stretch there to do anything else.
I did want to get just kind of an update from you. We've had a couple of things that were kind of waiting on implementation. You and I have talked last week about the red light cameras. But what about the substation at Pensacola State College? That seemed like it was kind of a, hey, do a little bit of installation, knock down a few walls, put in some cabling, and we're good. But it's not open yet, right?
No, not yet. And, you know, and we're looking forward to that. I've always been told since I was a kid, good things come to those who wait, and that's going to happen as well. But, you know, with the IT issues that we've experienced, you know, just when we get close and something else happens to knock that back, and, of course, they've got to prioritize that and get everything back up and running, and then concentrate back on projects such as the substation.
Yeah, that actually reminds me. Was PPD operations or dispatch affected at all by the, I guess, still kind of ongoing security stuff with the city? It seems like you guys were mostly isolated from that. Is that right?
Well, we had some administrative numbers that had to be changed, and that's about the extent of it for us. There was okay. No emergency communications that were affected.
Well, that's very good news. The other project we've kind of been waiting on is the new SWAT van, the new Bearcat, I think a Bearcat if I'm not mistaken, to replace the old and really not great plumber's van that we kind of use right now. How close are we on that?
I don't have an exact date, and again, that's something that, you know, those type vehicles, those specialty vehicles, are a lot like ambulances and fire trucks. You order them, and they, you know, they're like a Whataburger. They're going to build them as they're ordered. You know, they're not going to have them sitting ahead of time and sitting in a lot and hoping somebody buys it, because the specifications are different on every vehicle. So once they're ordered with the specs that we want, then they begin to build that, and that unfortunately takes time, and there's a line. There's a lot of agencies that are doing the same thing, and it's a first-come, first-served basis sort of thing. So we're still waiting, and again, good things come to those who wait, and when that thing arrives, we're going to be sure to let everyone know.
Great. Very good. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, and this has to do with traffic stops and officers ordering people from the vehicle, the driver and the passenger from the vehicle. And do you have to get out of the car when the officer says yes? And the answer to that question is yes, you do. And this comes from case law, and case law is what governs what officers can and cannot do. And the first one was involved a case, Pennsylvania versus Mims in 1977, and that's the case law regarding the driver. And the decision was made, yes, the officer, if the stop is legal, then the officer has the right to ask the driver to exit the vehicle. And then came along in 1997, Maryland versus Wilson, that addressed the passengers, everybody else in the car. Do the officers have the right to ask them to get out? And the decision was also made, yes, they do. As long as the stop was reasonable, it was legal, and the officers can articulate why they needed the occupants to exit the vehicle. So the short answer is yes. When the officers ask you to get out of the car, you must do that.
Okay, so that's the last thing you said. I just want to clarify. If the officer just walks up to your door and says, get out, and you say, can you tell me why, officer? They do have to articulate a reason, but if they articulate a reason, then you have to get out. If they want to then search the car, they would have to articulate a probable cause justification for searching the car on top of having explained why they want you to get out, or you can say no and decline until they secure a warrant. Do I have all of that correct?
Well, you don't. The officer does not have to tell them why at the moment. They just, when they order them out, they've got to get out. And the reason for that is, the officer may see a weapon, or there's a lot of reasons that officer may have to get those people to exit the car. And if you tell them why, then that could make things worse. So when I say that they need to articulate it, that's later on on a report or in court. The officer must be able to explain his actions, but not immediately on the scene. No, they don't have to do that.
Okay, so they do have to be able to articulate later in order to give justification for asking you to get out of the car, not to you to your face at that moment before you get out. But I'm still right about the search part, right? That if they say, may I search your car, and you can say no, or you can say, can you tell me why you want to? And they do at that point have to articulate something, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They will ask for consent to search, and if the occupant says no, then the officer can wait and get a search warrant. But, you know, that happens on when the dog alerts on the car,
right?
Sort of thing. So yeah, it gets into a whole new area at that point. But if the officer has a reason to believe that there's narcotics or something else in the vehicle, then we can get a search warrant.
And then somebody texts in a good follow-up to this. Do passengers in a traffic stop have to provide identification?
It depends, again, on what's going on. The driver has to, obviously, because of the driver's license, but the passengers, again, not so much. It depends on the situation and what the investigation's about.
Okay, unless there is a reason, and that's something that they would absolutely have to be able to articulate later, and possibly at the time, depending on circumstances. Is that pretty much right?
Right. But yeah, the short answer overall is no on the passengers, but yes on the driver, on whoever's operating the vehicle.
Oh, okay. All right. So I was a little bit wrong in my lean on that. So no on the passengers, again, unless there's something else that would justify the need to get an ID from them. Very good. That's why I love talking to y'all. I always learn stuff, and I know our listeners learn stuff as well. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, and joins us every Thursday at this time. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do, keeping us safe, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 550 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a home improvement project, a repair or a remodel, or, you know, you have to undo something that you did wrong the first time, or just something broke, you know, all kinds of reasons you go to the hardware store, Pensacola Hardware is a place to go. And even if you're at the other end of the spectrum, like you build things for a living, you're a professional construction person and you build houses or buildings or whatever, hey, if you haven't been there, my goodness, go. You'll find out that they have all kinds of things to help you do your business better, save money, time. For example, you don't have to send somebody to them to pick stuff up. They'll send it to your job site. You don't have to, you know, give Greg the card and have him go buy something for you. They can put it on a monthly bill for you. They don't have to order stuff. You know, if you need something from them, they're not going to tell you, we'll get it to you in a day because time is money. They'll get it to you today. Or they don't get it to you tomorrow. They'll get it to you today because they have it in stock. If they don't have it, you don't need it. They have everything you need in stock because they've been doing this for 173 years. Since 1851, Pensacola Hardware has been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world. But what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel this Monday at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. This Monday at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Fleet Feet Pensacola, your running, walking shoe store, now open on Sundays. Come by our Pensacola store at 236 West Garden Street across from Everman. We use our Fit ID scanner and pressure plate analysis to fit you in the right running, walking, or comfort shoe. We offer running and walking coach training programs. Fleet Feet is here to make your life better. Get your free foot scan today at Fleet Feet on Garden.
It's the biggest party of the year, coming April 6th.
Pensacola Little Theater presents Cabaret. Express yourself. Come paint the town red. Pensacola Little Theater transforms the entire building and the surrounding block into an indoor and outdoor entertainment complex for one unforgettable night. You'll find yourself winding through the bands, DJs, flash mobs, ballerinas, singers, dancers, and so much more, including six open bars and culinary art. Don't miss the biggest party of the year, Cabaret.
Get your tickets now at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
I must be going now. Goodbye, rabbit.
Well, goodbye, if you're sure you won't have any more.
Is there any more?
No, there isn't.
I thought not.
It's hard to say that I'd rather stay awake when I'm asleep.
Cause everything is never as it seems. Cause I get 1,000 hugs from 10,000 lightning bugs. As they try
it's
to
such
teach
a cool, sweet,
dance.
Sappy, embarrassing song to like. It always makes me happy. Kind of reminds me of, remember the Polyphonic Spree song? Where all these hippie dippies are dancing around in their white outfits or whatever. But it's a song that always makes you smile, you know? Owl City, by the way, with Fireflies. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The House is expected to send impeachment articles against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate next month. The Democrat-controlled Senate is not expected to convict Mayorkas. Senators could move to quickly dismiss that impeachment. The Social Security Administration is implementing a new rule that will increase monthly payouts for some Americans. Beginning in September, the SSA won't be including informal food assistance when calculating their monthly payouts. And federal prosecutors say Alec Murdaugh failed a lie detector test he had to take as part of his plea agreement for financial crimes. The U.S. Attorney's Office in South Carolina says he didn't tell them the whereabouts of over $6 million that he swindled out of his clients. The agreement would have Murdaugh serve his federal sentence at the same time as his 27-year state sentence.
It's so weird because he seems otherwise like a completely forthright, honest, upstanding citizen.
Right.
How could he also be a liar? I mean, that's so hard to comprehend. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3. This is kind of interesting note. The Navy is using robot ships to deter human smuggling out of Haiti. Remember I told you, a week or two ago about these odd-looking little ships that I think these are the ones that Austal is producing based on the picture and based on, you know, past coverage that we've done. It's like it's got a sail, but the sail is made out of metal, and it's meant to basically operate in various environments, you know, projecting power without having to project people. And the eventual theory behind a lot of these kind of robot drone, even, you know, remotely operated, but all of these things is that you can dramatically expand your footprint presence, right? You can have, instead of one ship, you can have 40 ships that are all basically doing some kind of surveillance or even potentially some sorts of interdiction. In this case, the sea drones are doing more than helping the Navy watch over the Caribbean. Rear Admiral James Aiken, commander of U.S. 4th Fleet, tells Defense One they actually served as a deterrent. And folks who would actually run a migration ship north, maybe into the United States or somewhere else in the Caribbean, no longer did it because they realized that they were being watched. So the U.S. Navy, in conjunction with the Coast Guard, has been operating 7 surface drones off the northern coast of Haiti to monitor illegal human smuggling by sea, an increasingly deadly practice that claims, you know, hundreds of lives per year. So just an interesting application of the drone ship concept that is still pretty much in its infancy. Speaking of military technology, there's some good and some bad news on the board. Both are bad, but I make it seem like it's good. One is that the Air Force, which had dreamed of mounting a laser on the AC-130J, the gunships, they say it's not feasible. They've been working on this for years, and they say that they missed the integration and flight test window for the airborne high-energy laser, or they say a hell, but I would say all hell, to put a laser on the belly of an AC-130J. Those are the ones that fly out of Hurlburt that you've seen in all the movies that take down the bad guys from a distance and are fantastic ground support for anybody. Anyway, they envision a laser system, what's now termed low probability of detection. You wouldn't be able to see it. It's not like in Star Wars. It would just be happening. And with the slightest bang, whoosh, thump, or explosion, or even aircraft engine hum, key targets would be permanently disabled. That was kind of the developmental design concept from 2017. And now they say, yeah, there's no more funding. We've used as much as we've got available, and there's not even a request for it in the next fiscal budget. Meanwhile, see how this is both bad? Meanwhile, China says that it's almost got a railgun ready to go. This is the technology that, you know how when you take a roller coaster that shoots you out the tunnel rather than by gravity? That's a railgun. Okay, electromagnetic alternation shoots a projectile that instead of having an explosive on it is just a big chunk of metal. Think of shooting a Volkswagen at your enemy at Mach 7 out of a ship. That's basically what it does. And the U.S. was a leader in this, but it has now ended its program in 2021 after spending $500 million focusing instead on, for example, hypersonics. But now it looks like China and maybe even Japan are actually developing this technology that we have not been able to bring to bear.
News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.